Job 33. Go back there with us. Job, God said, was a perfect man. Meaning he was mature in the faith. He knew God. He knew the truth. He was upright. He was upright. Righteous in Christ. An upright man, a just man. He feared God. God said so. He feared God. He eschewed or avoided evil. God said there's none like him. What a thing to say about a man. He did. But Job is just a man. Just a man. He's a sinner. There was a time when Job did not know the Lord. And like Noah, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Like all of us who know the Lord, found grace. The Lord found Job in the pit. In the pit called sin. This world, the earth. He brought him out. He bought him. He brought him. He taught him. He was saved by grace, the grace of God, kept by the power of God from the pit. From the pit. But Job, like all of us, sometimes we get into a pit again. Job was in a pit of bitterness and despair and even cursed his day. Remember, he went through so much trouble and he didn't know why. And he tried to figure it out. He said so much good throughout the book of Job, like, though he slay me, I'm trusted. The Lord gave, the Lord taketh away. But he began to defend himself. And when we defend ourselves, we're defending a bad man. So the Lord sent him a preacher. You know, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is preached. And the Lord sent Job a preacher. Job, though he was a perfect man, an upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil, none like him in the earth, he still needed a preacher. And it was a young man at that. A young man who respected Job. And he said, I waited on you to speak. You've read this, chapter 32. I've waited on all you older men to speak, and age should speak. The aged men should. And he said, and I listened. And I was afraid to say anything. I didn't. But God gave him a message for Job and for us. And we all need this. Always will. Or else we'll go back into the pit. And he'd say from the pit. You notice with me how many times he talked about the pit, the pit. And if you'll just look that up in the scriptures, it's just many, many times. Well, now 100 times, the pit, the pit. All right, so we read the last two verses of chapter 32 because this is good. He said, I don't accept any man's person. I'm not giving flattering tithe. Listen to me. Paul said, if I yet seek to please men, I wouldn't be the servant of God. Paul said, I must tell the truth. If I become men's enemies, I must tell the truth. He said, don't flatter. Don't listen to somebody that flatters you. Don't listen. And he said, I don't know. I don't give flattering titles. Those belong to our, not flattering titles, but titles belong only to our Lord. So he says in verse 1, Job, I pray thee, hear my speeches, hearken unto all my words. Verse 2, I've opened my mouth, my tongue has spoken my mouth. My words shall be of the uprightness of my heart. My lips shall utter knowledge clearly. The Spirit of God hath made me. The breath of the Almighty hath given me life. He says, if you can answer me, set your words in order before me, stand up. And look at the last two verses. Last three verses. Mark well, O Job, hearken unto me. Hold thy peace, and I will speak. If you have anything to say, answer me. Speak. I desire to justify thee. If not, shut up. That's what he's telling me. Sit down. Stand up. If not, sit down and shut up. I've got something to tell you. that, you know, the Lord is pleased to use the foolishness of preaching, what the world calls foolishness. But unto us which believe, gospel's preaching is the power of God, the wisdom of God, the power of God. We're kept by the power of God. We're brought out of the pit by the gospel, and we're kept from going back into it by the power. And we come here to hear from the Lord, like Cornelius and all those in his house. We said, we're here to hear. And they all sat down and shut up. No men need to do that. See, these two things don't work simultaneously. If the mouth is open, the ear shuts. If the ear's open, the mouth has to be shut. And oh, that we would be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to anger. But so Elihu says, if you have something to say, stand up. But if not, just sit down. Just hold your peace. That means don't say that. Listen. Hearken unto me. Didn't our Lord say that in Isaiah 55? Don't you love that? He said, hearken diligently unto me. He says, incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. So, faith cometh by hearing. And though God uses a man, God speaks. He does. He speaks through men, like young Elihu. So, verse 6, he said, I am according to thy wish in God's stead. Over in chapter 9, this is what Job said. Don't you love this book? Those of you who know it. Job said, God's not a man as I am that I should answer him, that we should come together in judgment. He says, neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both. Yes, there is, Job. That's Christ. And then Job went on in chapter 16. He said this. He said, chapter 16, oh, that one might plead for a man with God as a man pleadeth with his neighbor. So the Lord said, Job, a preacher, he said, I am according to thy wish. You've asked for help, and God sent me. But he says, I'm just formed out of clay. I'm just like you. Okay? We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power might be of God, not of men. So Elihu said, I'm no better than you. I'm just a man just like you, but God has given me a message for you. In verse 7, my terror shall not make thee afraid. Don't be afraid of man. Oh, no. We should fear God. Neither shall my hand be heavy upon thee. But, oh, may the word of God lay hold of us, the hand of God. Verse 8, Elihu said, he said, thou hast spoken in my hearing. I've listened to you. I've heard the voices of thy word. I've heard you say, I'm clean without transgression. I'm innocent. Neither is there iniquity in me. Behold, Job said, God findeth occasion against me. Now remember, that's what Jacob said. All this is against me. That's what Naomi said. It's all against me. Job was fine in the beginning. We said, Lord gave, Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. He was blessing the Lord, though all this happened to him. He didn't believe God was against him. What was the Lord doing with Job? Trying him. Trying his faith. Trial of our faith. It was a heavy trial. Painful trial. Yet, it worketh in us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. And it's all over with Job. He's going to rejoice and going to praise God as never before, more than he did before his trials. The Lord trieth the righteous. He trieth the righteous. And when they're tried, they'll come forth as gold. But they got to go through the fire. The fire. And so Job, when he got into trouble, and when we get into trouble, is trying to figure out why God is doing what he's doing. And we should trust Him and believe Him. He's not against us. Whom the Lord loveth, He does what? Chasten it. And the Lord, Job needed chastening, did. So do we. And the Lord loved him. Chastening is not punishment, strictest sense, not penal judgment. No, no. Christ took our judgment. Christ, we're going to see Christ was put in the pit. Bring us out. Substitute. But chastening is firm correction, loving correction. Bring us out. So he says, you said that God findeth occasion against me. He counteth me for his enemy. No, no, who the Lord loveth, he chastened. His enemies, he just puts in the pit, throws them in the pit and leaves them. He said in verse 11, he puts my feet in the stocks. He marketh all my paths. Job, in this thou art not just. It's not right, Job. He said in verse 12, I'll answer thee. Listen, Job, God's greater than man. God's holy. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God. God is just. God is right. You were right when you said, though he slay me, I'll trust him. He ought to slay us. He doesn't. He won't, Job. But God speaketh, verse 13, why dost thou strive against him? He giveth not account of his matters. Now, go with me to Job 4, Job chapter 4. This is what one of his friends said, and he was right in what he said. And Job, and this is said two or three times in Job and other places. Job 4, verse 17. Eliphaz said this. He said, in verse 17, you have it? Job 4, 17. Shall mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his maker? Behold, he put no trust in his servant. In his angels he charged with folly. Chapter 9, look at Job 9. Now, this is the question, these are the questions that few ask. One time, one of our brethren preached a message on the radio entitled, The Questions Nobody's Asking. Here it is. Job 9, you with me? Job said, verse 1, verse 2, I know it's of the truth, but how should man be just with God? That's the question. And then Job 14 talks about death and man going down in the grave. And he began by saying, man's a few days full of trouble. Why? Because he's in trouble with God. And should a living man complain for the punishment of his sin? No. And he says, do you bring such a creature, into judgment with thee? David said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Son of man that you would even think on it. Why didn't God destroy Adam and Eve immediately? Rebellious creatures that they were. Like a dog that bites your hand that you feed it. Why didn't God? Because God's not a man. Because God is merciful. Because God's going to show His greatest glory in showing mercy and being gracious to these creatures that don't deserve mercy. Look at verse 4, Job 14, 4. Here it is. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. And we could ask the question too, who can bring a man out of a deep pit of uncleanness? And make him clean. That'd be a good question. Only one. Only one. So this is the question that few ask if you know the answer to it. Nobody's asking the question. So they really don't know why Christ came. This is why Christ came. This is the whole reason why Jesus Christ came to this pit. To deliver some from it. And keep from throwing back in it. You understand? You do. This is the reason Christ came, to deliver us from the pit. So he says in verse 13, he says, I'm in Job 14. Job 33. Okay. And verse 13 says, why do you strive against him? He giveth not account of his matters. Why? Don't ask why. It's bad. Just trust him. Just trust him. Though he slay me, I'll trust him. And then God doesn't give an account of himself. And this is what all human beings want God to do. They think God's accountable to man. That's the other way around, isn't it? God calleth man into account, and all are guilty. All mankind are guilty. All mankind's guilty if they don't give God all the glory for everything they are and everything they have, and thank God and worship God, and call on his name for mercy, and believe God's Son, whom God sent to do what he did for the likes of us. They're guilty of treason. They're guilty of rebellion. God took the holy angels that kept not their estate, the fallen angels that kept not their estate, and cast them into a pit. That's where they are right now, with no hope, with no mercy. And that's exactly what Adam and Eve did. That's what mankind does. That's what we all did. And such were some of you. But God in mercy said to some of you, many of you, if not most in this room, deliver him, deliver her. Why her? What about her? She doesn't say, well, she doesn't either, I know. But I've chosen her. Deliver her from going down to the pit. I've got a ransom for her. You see? You can't preach the truth without preaching sovereign election. That's where it all started. God chose a number. He chose a number as the sands of the sea. His son said, their sin debt I'll pay. If he just chose a woman, that man would be singing about sovereign electing love and grace in all the days of his life. And Christ would have had to come to die for him. One man. But he did for so many. How merciful, how gracious. He did for me. God giveth not account. God speaketh, look at this, verse 14. God speaketh once, yea, twice. Man perceiveth it not. Job 19, the two books of God, the book of creation. Heaven has declared glory, the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. God speaketh through creation, saying his eternal power and Godhead are clearly seen, so that all mankind is without excuse. They ought to, the jungle native can see that there's some higher power that's done all this. And if he'll fall on his face and say, show me, God will. He'll give you more light. God will send a preacher. You remember the story of the man in the jungle of Mexico, or his name was Feliz. Happy? He was not happy. But he was in a deep jungle, and God impressed Walter Gruber to get in his truck and drive up in the jungles. And there that man was standing there with a rifle. And he stopped Walter's truck. Walter didn't know if he was going to shoot him or what. He said, who are you? The man said, who are you in Spanish? And Walter told him, a missionary, a preacher of the gospel. And the man said this. And we don't put stock in dreams. We don't. And I'm going to explain this in a minute, that dream. But it happened. The man said, I had a dream. I dreamed that God would send a white man up here and tell me about God. He said, will you tell me about God? He did. But this here is speaking of, God's two books, the book of creation and God's book that he's written. And then God spoke before the Bible was written. God spoke to men in dreams and visions before the word was written. He spoke to believers and unbelievers. He spoke to Nebuchadnezzar in a dream. Struck fear in Nebuchadnezzar. And nobody could answer his dream. Abimelech. Remember when Abimelech was going to take Abraham's wife? God spoke to him in a dream. Don't you touch her. Scared him. God spoke to him. Darius, Pilate's wife, remember, had a dream and said to Pilate, "Don't, this is a just man. I've suffered many things in a dream because of him." And on it goes. So God did speak to men and women. He does do that now. And I know I just told you a story, but at any rate, God speaks through His Word. He used to speak to preachers. In Numbers 12, it says that God said, "If there's a prophet, I'll speak to him in a dream and a vision." And He did. The vision of Isaiah, the vision of Jeremiah, the visions of Daniel, the visions of Ezekiel, the visions, the dream. He rebuked the false prophets for telling their false dream. And you've heard these fellows. And God said there in Jeremiah 23, He said, "He that hath his dream, let him tell his dream." What's chaff to wheat to the chaff to the wheat, wheat to the chaff? "But he that hath my word, let him speak my word." He said, to the law and the prophets, if they speak not according to my word, there's no light in them. Right? God speaks through His Word. And He spoke to man. Peter said, "No scriptures of any private interpretation, but holy men spake as they were moved by the Spirit of God." God spoke to them in dreams, visions, deep sleep. And he sealed their instruction. He opened their ears. And how God opens our ears and seals our instruction is through a preacher whom He sends the Word. He opens our ears. He opens our blind eyes, doesn't He? By preaching. So thank God for preaching the gospel. And here's what preaching is aimed at. Here's what God's purpose is in sending His Word to open ears, open blind eyes. Here it is, verse 17. "To withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man." So what's man's purpose? What is man set out to do? Sin. His purpose, all of his purpose, his work is what the margin said. His work. Man is a worker of iniquity. Adam and Eve, without saying it, they said, "We want to be God." Didn't they? Only consult to cast him down from his excellence in Scripture. That's what man, that's what Satan did. That's what all those fallen angels did. They said, "We'll be God. We'll bring God down from his throne. We'll be God." And that's what man says. All this talk about free will and all that. That's what man's saying. It's not innocent false doctrine. It's rebellion against God. It's hatred of God being God. Of God's right to be God. It's hatred of God. That's what it is. That's what Romans says. Men are haters of God. What do you think about that? It's true, isn't it? It's me. Though I didn't say it, though I would have been frightened to say it, but as a young rebel with no thought of God, I was pretty much saying I wish there wasn't a God. Right? So I can continue to sin with both hands, like with a cart rope. You ever read that? Isaiah, we're going to go through Isaiah. We're going to look at the whole book of Isaiah. So I didn't know where what to leave out. In 30 minutes. But over in chapter 5, I believe it is, sin as if with a cart rope. That is, it can't get enough of sin. The whole purpose of man, like Genesis 6, his imagination is evil. All he wants to do is work wickedness. God, in mercy and grace, is going to take man out of that. Take that out of him. Only God can do that. God's the only one who can do that. It's a pit called the pit of lust, pit of desire, pit of sin that men and women and young people are in, the pit of corruption, the pit that holds people in captivity. And to hide pride from man, pride that goeth before destruction, pride. God, the Lord of hosts, here's his purpose. The Lord of hosts has purposed it to stain the pride of all glory and to bring into contempt all the honorable of the earth. That which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination to God. Why? Why does God hate pride so much? Because what do we have that we have not received? for us to take credit for and be proud of and boast of and talk boldly and boastfully, proudly about anything we've ever done or anything we have, is to say, I did this, not God. God hates it. God hates it. So the life of a believer is one continual humbling lesson. He's going to bring us down. He knows him that walketh in pride, he's able to abase. He's able. We all do it, you know. Job started defending himself. Job. Bring you down. And we all do it, don't we? Why is this happening to me? Hold on. He hath not dealt with us according to our sin. We may not deserve something that a human being's doing to us, but we deserve it from God. We may have not done something to somebody and they do evil to us, but God did it. Like David said, God sent him to cuss me. Shimei. God sent him to cuss me. Leave it alone. I deserve worse than that. And Job's going to find that out. Job knew this, but he got in self-pity, self-righteousness, self-justification. We've all done it. We will do it. And God will humble us. How? He sent a preacher. And he says, verse 18, he's going to keep your soul back from the pit. God's going to send all proud people down into a pit. One time, years ago, in a Bible school in Nashville, and Dad asked me to lead that whole thing. I addressed everybody at the beginning, and I told the young people. You know, young people, I know, I was guilty. Even as adults, we all tend to try to act cool. You know what I mean? Cool. You're driving along in our car. Well, ain't that something? It's not funny, is it? That's what we do. That's man. He's proud. I'm cool. Who are you? I said, God's got a very hot place to put cool people. That's where he's going to put them. Sounds funny, though. But that's what he's going to do. Isaiah 2, we're going to look at that. Enter into the rock, hide in the pit. The lofty looks of man are coming down. He's going to keep us back from the pit. And he does this in humbling fashion. And his life from perishing by the sword. Perishing by the sword. Sword of God's justice. Now the pit, all through here, is spoken of. Pit. Four times here, many times in the scripture. Pit. A pit is, as you might think, it's a hole in the ground. Hole in the ground. Earth. Didn't that fit him? This whole earth. It's a pit. Slime. Pits. Like Egypt. The children of Israel were in slime. Pits. Working. And God came and said, I am come down to bring them out of the pit, to bring them up. Isaiah 40, I can't wait to get to it. I'll quote it later. I'll go ahead and quote it. He brought me up out of a horrible pit and set my feet on the rock and established my going. Pit, hole in the ground, earth. Pit, it's an abyss. It means it's a hole that just swallows up everything. That's this earth, then. Hole in the ground. Sin, as I said, is a pit. A deep, dark hole that you can't get out of. You can't do it. Nobody can. Sin of lust. And sin of ambition. People are in a pit of ambition. Sin of wanting fame and fortune. And the pit of wanting to be something or be somebody. The whole world's in a pit. Sin is a pit. The world is a pit. It's a darkness. It's called a dung heap. That's what the scriptures call it, a dung heap. Everything in it turns to dung. And we're in it. and we heap up a lot of it. And we're full of it. I said it, didn't I? And hell is a pit. A bottomless pit. In Revelation it speaks of over and over and over. The bottomless pit. Where the worm dieth not. Where all those consuming desires are never fulfilled but never go away. Now who can bring us out of that? How? Here's how. Here's the only way that he delivers from the pit. Verse 9. It's a painful thing. Verse 19. He says he chastens him with pain upon his bed. His bones, strong pain, his inner being. So that his life abhorreth bread, his soul dainty meat. Listen to Psalm 25. David says it over and over. Deliver my soul from going down into the pit. John read it in Psalm 30. But listen to this. He said, Lord, remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies, thy loving kindness, they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgression. According to thy mercy, remember me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Oh, Lord. He says, Lord, what? He says, the seeker of the Lord is within that fear him. He said, he'll deliver him from the pit. To deliver him from the pit. And it's a painful thing, though. He says in verse 20, his life abhorreth bread, his soul dainty meat, his flesh is consumed away, it cannot be seen, his bone, as it been stick out. Well, we have heart pain, when we realize soul pain, head pain, even bodily pain, when we realize what we are, when God shows unto us what we are, what we've done. David said, Psalm 51, oh, he was in a pit. Oh, have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Pain. Your life, it says his life abhorreth meat, his flesh is consumed away. You know, when we find out, when we realize that in our flesh dwelleth no good thing. And I'm in a pit. Verse 22. His soul draweth near unto the grave, his life to the destroyers. And I'm in a pit. Who shall deliver me? I do want you to turn to Psalm 143, okay? Psalm 143. Turn over there. Who shall deliver me? I'm going down in the pit. I'm going to be just like everybody else if the Lord doesn't do something for me. Look at this. Psalm 143. And this is, you know, this is Christ on the cross is who this is, praying on our behalf. Psalm 143. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplication. In thy faithfulness answer me. In thy righteousness. Enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. The enemy hath persecuted my soul, hath smitten my life down to the ground. He made me to dwell in darkness as those who have been dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart is within me as desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on thy work. I muse on the work of thy hand. Stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Hear me speedily, O Lord, my spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. And our Lord in Psalm 88, same thing. He prayed. See what the Lord, here's what the Lord did. Verse 23. Here's what the Lord did. He sends a messenger. And this man is down in the pit and he can't get out. Who shall deliver me? If there be a messenger with them. The Lord's got to send a messenger with a message. Okay? And Malachi 3 says there's a messenger. The Lord sent John, the messenger. And his message was Christ. He's the ransom. And then Christ came, was the messenger of the covenant. If there be a messenger, an interpreter, is there one that can tell us? Who can tell us? Remember the message from Ecclesiastes? Who can tell us about God, about man, how we can be delivered from this pit? One among a thousand. Oh, that's Christ, isn't it? Fairest among 10,000. To show unto man his uprightness. I bet you most people read this wrong, don't you, John? To show unto man his uprightness. Oh, God loves you. No, that's not what he's talking about. He's going to show you your corruption. And he's going to show you his uprightness. And the only way that he that is unclean can be clean is that he was clean was made unclean. You understand? The only way that he can bring someone out of the pit and set out of the miry clay and set with princes is to take the Prince of Glory off the throne and put him into miry clay. See, he put Christ in the pit of hell on Calvary's tree. This is how. This is the message. This is my message. This is the only message there is. This is the message of deliverance. To show unto man God's holy. God is upright. God is just. He will by no means clear the guilty. Well, how can God be just and justified? That's what Job was asking. This is the question. In Romans, Paul said that he might declare, I say, his righteousness for the forgiveness of sin. To show man his uprightness. The just one came down. He that was without sin was made sin. God put him to death. God laid on him the iniquity of all of his people. All right? All the transgression, all the sin, all the iniquity was laid on Christ. He was made sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. He made sin for us. He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's how God can be just, not clear the guilt of sin, and yet punish him. Punish him and clear him. Because Christ took his place. That's how, and if you hear that, if you need that, God's gracious. Verse 24, then God's gracious unto you. This is the gospel of God's grace. Elihu preached this thousands of years ago. There's no other message. God said it in the garden to the first guilty sinners. You tried to take me off the throne. Adam, I ought to throw you in a pit. I'm going to cast you out of the garden. You're going to go through pain all your life and suffering because of this thing called sin. But you're not going, I'm going to deliver you from the pit. I found a ransom. The soul that sins must surely die. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Adam, behold the Lamb. And God slipped that through. Poured his blood out. That lamb died that they might live. And he wrapped them in that skin. He said, now go. But don't come back in my presence without that blood. That's the ransom. Christ is the ransom. The atonement. You know, a ransom, you think of ransom as somebody that's been taken captive. And they demand a ransom price. That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. We're taken captive by Satan. So what did our Lord have to do? God let Satan bruise his heel. God let man do with Jesus as he will. And they killed him. But they did what God determined before it be done. You with wicked hands have taken and crucified the Lord of glory, but you did what God determined before to be done. They killed the Lamb, the Passover Lamb. And later on, the very ones who killed him, Christ prayed for them, interceded for them. Is there one that can lay hands on God and man? Yes, there is. Jesus Christ. Job, yes, there is. Write it down. That's your Redeemer. That's your Daysman. That's your mediator. That's your intercessor. That's your ransom, Job. And this, what happens? Verse 25 is a new birth. His flesh will be fresher than a child. All through Scripture, it talks about men being in pain as a woman in childbirth. You read that? Over and over again. Us men have never been through childbirth. Some of you women have, some women haven't. But we all go through this pain of the new birth. And we feel something of this pain, of the conviction of sin and fear. I remember Mindy being in such pain that she thought, I'm going to die. Give me something. Cut my head off something. And you know, we go through, I remember thinking, Lord, kill me. I get what I deserve. But he didn't. That pain was a means of delivering me. Conviction of sin. When he comes, he'll convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and what? Judgment. All has to do with Christ. And when he does, he'll be born again. Born of God. Born of the Spirit. Born of his word. Born of the gospel. His flesh will be fresher than a child. He will receive the word as a little child. He will return to the days of his youth. Happy. Not in pain, but joy. He'll pray unto God. Verse 26. Look at this. He'll pray unto God and God will be favorable unto him. Show favor unto him. He'll see his face with joy. But see whose face? Us see God or God see us? Both. There's a time I didn't want to come in here. I want to see God's face. He didn't see mine. He saw me. Oh, now I want to see his face, don't you? And he sees my face with joy, amazingly. And he'll render unto man, here it is again, his righteousness. You know, sometimes I think, maybe we say that too much. It's just saying it by rote. You know, are people just receiving this as doctrine? People, righteousness is not a doctrine, if you believe this doctrine of saving. No, righteousness is a person. What's his name, John? Say it. Jehovah what? Sidkinah. What's that mean, John? That's exactly right, John. Oh, the Lord's been gracious to you. You found a ransom. That's his name and that's our name. That's her name. So David said this. Here's what David said. Deliver me in thy righteousness. God's holy. He really is. He will not clear the guilty. Every sin shall receive a just recompense of reward. That's the God of the Bible. It really is. Not, you're being too strict. I'm not strict. God is. I'm just saying what God said. Okay? And men think God's not like that. He's more like that. He's a whole lot more holy than we can make him to be. We just read that God charges his angels with folly. The Son is not pure in his sight, Scripture said. God saw sin. The greatest proof of that is Calvary. When God, his own Son, made sin and God killed his own Son. Like, remember Mr. Lynch hanging his son? I saw horror on some of your faces. That man actually did that. Well, God killed his son. He really did. His beloved son. There's no other way. Christ in the garden said, if it be possible, God said, it's not possible. It's not possible. Okay. And God hung his son on a cross. For who? See why it's an abomination to God for anybody to talk about anything other than Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Man's will, man's works. That's not false doctrine. It's treason. It's saying Christ didn't need to come here. Didn't need to die. That's what it's saying. It's not innocent. It's willful transgression. Can't say it strong enough. And look at this. I love this. I love this. Verse 27. He looks upon men and any say, I've sinned. Some of you are hoping, get to that quick. He looks upon me, and if any say, I've sinned and perverted that which was right. In other words, you're saying, everything about me is wrong. And it profited me not. God will deliver his soul from going down in the pit. Doesn't matter how bad. Where you been? You know where the first mention of pit is found in Scripture? You're going to love this, Melanie. Melanie loves. All of you love this story. But Melanie teaches our children. You know, she just lights up when I talk about Joseph and all of it. The first mention is Joseph being thrown into a pit by his brethren that hated him because the father loved him and gave him a coat of many colors. And they hated him and they despised him. And when Joseph came, they threw him into a pit to just slay him. That's happened. How could it be that? Joseph came to see about his brethren. Joseph came to do good to his brethren. And his brethren said, let's kill him. Throw him in a pit. So they threw him in a pit and made it look like he was slain. His blood, and took it to the father. Later on, he was put in prison, pit. Pit, also in Scripture, is prison. Scripture says all these people are snared in holes, prison holes. They put Jeremiah down in a pit. They lowered him down. Jeremiah is a type of Christ. They lowered him down into a pit. He sunk in the mire and stayed there for who knows how long. That's Christ. That's what they did to Christ. That's what they did to... Well, while Joseph was in prison, okay, there were two men there in prison with him, in the pits. And one of the men was delivered out of the pit, according to Joseph's word. And the other man was thrown into, got his head cut off. And when they left, Joseph said, now remember me. Does that bring back a story? Our Lord's hanging on the cross, going through the pit of hell. And two men, one man on his right hand and one man on his left. A man on his right hand, yes, all the sheep are on his right hand. All the sons of favor are on his right hand. Right? Jacob have I left, right hand. The first. Anyway, the last. Our Lord said to that man on his right hand, he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That man had lived in the pit of sin all his life. And with a word, Christ said, today you'll be with me in paradise. The other man, Christ threw him in the pit. It's up to him. We'll leave it up to him. And if any say, Lord, remember me. Any. He's gracious. He's gracious. He'll deliver you from going down in the pit. And he says he'll deliver him. And his life will see light. That thief on the cross, He lived a dark life all his life, hadn't he? The only time he saw light was hanging on that cross, looking at Christ, the light. And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, boy, did he see light. Boy, did God bring him out of a pit. His whole life was a pit. And the next thing he knew, he's in light. Because of Christ. Okay, see, all these things, verse 29, see, even you like his tongue. All these things, God does it quite often. Would he do it for me? Oh, he did it for me. Maybe there's no more mercy left. Oh, no, hold on there. His mercy endureth forever. It's plenteous in mercy. He's got plenty of it. Delights to show mercy. He's got plenty. He reserves mercy for thousands. Exodus said. He does it quite often with man to bring his soul back from the pit, be enlightened with the light of the living. Mark this well, O Job. Hearken unto me. Just hold your peace. Just be still. Now speak. If you have anything to say, answer me, speak. I desire to justify thee. If not, hearken unto me. Hold your peace now. Be still. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm going to teach you wisdom. What's wisdom? But I'm going to quote it again, okay? Christ has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. The ransom. Redemption. Okay, stand with me.